It's finally starting to feel like fall outside. I walked out today, and it was starting to get chilly again. I was getting tired of it being 70 dang degrees outside in the middle of November. But it's starting to feel like fall, which means it's getting close to the end of football season. This is the Bomber Buzz on Classic Hits 101.7 and wherever you listen to your podcast, and also on the Bomber Sports Network. Glad you're here with us. Man, we had a lot last week. We had, of course, the Bombers, Lay Bombers, went to Memphis. They took care of business over there. They had a fun time. A lot of great memories made at that NBA game. It was also a really good game that was over there. Watched the Denver Nuggets take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Of course, Nikola Jokic and Ja Morant were both out, so that was kind of a deflator, but got to see a lot of other great talent. The other thing, we saw NBA history. We saw Russell Westbrook's 200th. Career NBA triple-double, which, if you don't know what that is, that's him reaching double digits in a major stat, whether it's steals, blocks, points, rebounds, assists. And he reached double digits in three of those. And he's done that 200 times. The next closest, I think, was Oscar Robertson, and he was in about the 170s, the 180s. So you got to be really good to be able to do that. But a lot of great memories there. And, of course, a couple days before that, it was hopefully you had the nitroglycerin tablets nearby for it, but the Bomber football team, I don't want to say escaped, but they came out victorious against the Sheridan Yellow Jackets. That was a heck of a ball game. The Bombers won 57-50. It was a back and forth game, a game in which the Bombers trailed in the last 6 minutes, but they were able to fight back and get back into that one. But it was interesting because, you know, Kevin Kelly, the coach at Sheridan, he was at Pulaski Academy forever, and he's an outstanding coach. I want to say he's got, I don't think it's double-digit state titles, but it's close. I want to say it's, I think, 7 or 8, but his style, you know, it was a numbers game. You know, he's going to go for it on fourth down because the math is you got 4 chances to get 10 yards, or you have 4 opportunities to get 10 yards. He's going to go for 2 because the other logic there is, let's say you score 3 touchdowns and you get the 2-point conversion on each one. That's another touchdown worth of points there. He doesn't punt. Onside kicks it every time, trying to maximize the amount of possessions that he has, and he's very successful. But the Bombers did a good job. I think they only went 1-for-10 on fourth down, or 1-for-9. They went 2-for-5 on 2-point conversions, and they never recovered an onside kick. So the Bombers did all of those right, but Sheridan still had a lot of talent. I mean, the record was not indicative of how good a football team that was that we saw last week. It was a very young football team, a lot of sophomores and juniors. I think the only quarterback, the quarterback was the only guy of the skill guys, I think, that wasn't, or that was a senior, excuse me. But it was a exciting game. I saw a lot of people there. Shout out to Mount Home. That was the highest sold game in the state of Arkansas by virtual tickets from AAA. And just shout out to Mountain Home for that. That's a testament to the community. Also a testament to Sheridan's fans as well, because that side of the bleachers on the far side was packed also as well. It's a great night. Had fireworks finally. That was a big, exciting thing. But we can't wait for this week. The Bombers are going to go back to War Memorial, take on Little Rock Catholic, and that's going to be a fun one. Winner of that one gets to practice on Thanksgiving next week. And they always say, if you practice on Thanksgiving, that's a good problem to have. But we're going to take a short little break. We got Madeline Lynch of Truman State, former Lady Bomber swimmer, on the other side of the break. This is the Bomber Buzz on Classic Hits 101.7 and on the Bomber Sports Network.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
We're back here on the Bomber Buzz, getting you ready for Mountain Home versus Little Rock Catholic for the 5th straight year. The Mountain Home Bombers have made it to the second round of the state football playoffs, but they're trying to chase that state championship, and our guest today has 5 of those. Welcome Madeline Lynch, who's swimming over at Truman State University in Kirksville, Missouri. Maddie, what's going on?
You know, just school and swim.
A lot going on over there. How's things in Kirksville, Missouri?
It's good. It's kind of boring compared to St. Charles, but, you know.
That's right.
It's going.
You started at Lindenwood, and then you went to Truman State. Is that correct? Yeah. Was there somewhere before that?
I was at Sioux Falls, but only for a semester.
That's right. That's right. So this is your third place.
Yes.
Gotcha. So we'll just go ahead and start. You're one of the best swimmers that we've had in the history of our school. I'll go down the list, and you might just start blushing, but you won the 50-meter freestyle your junior year as a state championship, and you won the state title in the 200 freestyle, the 100 butterfly, and the 200 freestyle relay, and you were also on our 2020 5A state championship girls swim team, as also you were the Jim Holstead Mountain Home Athlete of the Year in 2022. So you were very decorated as an athlete here at Mountain Home. What was that like?
Honestly, it was just like an honor to be able to represent Mountain Home.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to think when that was. That was the, I want to say, the 8th Athlete of the Year. And I think you had the most state championships A Athlete of the Year that we had at that point. But just tell me about your time here at Mountain Home and what it was like in our swim program here.
It was honestly amazing. It's definitely a smaller program compared to like other schools. And it's just amazing, like, how, like, supportive Coach Hope was. Like, Coach Hope is definitely one of my favorite coaches I've ever had, and I would not be the person I am today without her.
Yeah, I love Coach Hope. She's a hoot to talk to. She's awesome. She's one of my favorite people.
She's one of my favorite people, too. She definitely has a personality, but we just go hand in hand. Like, she'll send me pictures of her cats, or she'll talk to me about swimming. Like, it's like, you never know what kind of text I'm getting from Coach Hope that day.
To know Coach Hope is to love Coach Hope.
It's definitely an acquired love.
Shout out to Coach Hope. She's still coaching, so it's...
Yeah.
It's one of our one of the most successful swim programs in the state, and she's a volunteer coach, but she's been... I love talking to her about swim. I mean, she'll always talk about how great her kids are. Now, when you were at Mountain Home, you also were in track and field. I can't remember. Did you do anything else?
I just did track. I did, like, basketball when I was, like, 7th grade.
That's right.
And I quit that. That wasn't my, really my thing.
So, in track, refresh me, what did you do in track?
I have tried everything. I threw for a couple of years, but I mostly just did high jump and sprint.
Did you prefer either of those, or?
I was mostly a high jumper, definitely.
Gotcha. Yeah, you got to be a, I want to say, a crazy person to want to do high jump or pole vaulting, but I mean, you got to, that takes a lot of dedication to do that, because it's such a dangerous activity.
Yeah, it was dangerous, but every time I've high jumped, I had Mr. Martin and Coach Goodwin, and they're two of my favorite people. So, and then Mr. Peverell my senior year, so I mean, I couldn't complain there.
So, yeah, you had a lot of good coaching here at Mountain Home. Can you tell me about what they meant to you? Like, just not necessarily just coaching, but just from like a life standpoint.
Well, I honestly, like, Coach Hope has... Like, when I first was going off to college, like, I've always been like, oh, occupational therapy, occupational therapy, occupational therapy. Because I babysit Eli Rawls, and I wanted to, like, specialize in special education, and I was like, that's what I want to do. And, like, I absolutely love special education, and I still love occupational therapy. It's still an option. But Coach Hope actually kind of inspired me to start coaching. And when I was 15, I tore my labrum in my hip, and so I got hip surgery that summer, and so I couldn't swim over the summer, and Coach Hope's like, well, why don't you coach? And it honestly inspired me to coach more than I actually expected, because this past summer I moved to Alabama and was coaching down there as a head coach, and I honestly Coach Hope can take all the credit for that. I would not have done that if it wasn't for her.
So what level were you head coaching?
I was coaching at a country club. They it's basically like the AAU Hurricanes.
Okay.
And then they talked about we can make this like a year round thing, and I was like, guys, I'm in college, like, I need to get a degree before I can like do that. They're like, come on. I was like, I don't know how my parents would feel about me dropping out of college and just coaching.
I mean, did that conversation ever come up?
I like said it to a joke as my parents, and my parents were like, you would like to quit and you want to be able to keep swimming college? And I was like, you guys are making a fair point. Maybe I will just go finish my degree, because I only have 2 more years, and then I'll see where I want to, what I want to do next.
So you just said you have 2 more years on your degree. What are you working towards?
So I am an exercise science major. I'm on the pre-occupational therapy route. I might do occupational therapy and specialize with special education. I may do ABA therapy. I may do coaching. Who knows? I'll be doing something in that realm. I know that.
Yeah, that's always a big thing, you know, when you hear occupational therapy. I've heard a few people that have gone into that, and there's so many different career paths that you can get into with that. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Is that what
it's
you...
It's a matter of if I have that much more schooling left in me.
I get that. Some people like to go that 10-year route, so, you know.
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted to do at high school, or is this a completely different path?
When I was in high school, I wanted to do physical therapy, but after I started babysitting Eli when I was a senior in high school, and I just, like, fell in love with, like, babysitting him and, like, everything, like, all the therapies he's in, and so I changed it to occupational therapy when I was going into college. So ever since, like, senior year, yeah.
I got you. I mean, there's a lot of people I know that are about your age, or they just got out of college to change their major or change what they want to do like 4 or 5 times. So, I mean, it's not like you really diverted off your original path in a way.
No, I haven't changed my major or even thought of it. I just have changed maybe career paths, but like all the careers I've thought about doing all fall in the same
area.
Degree, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good that, you know, it's a big change, but it's not like you're just changing a whole lot.
Yes.
So I want to talk about how, you know, you said you did track and field, you did basketball, you did swimming. Did you do anything else growing up, like sports-wise, or was it just pretty much kind of those three?
I mean, like, I've done, like, I did cheer camp when I was, like, in Hackler. I did those volleyball camps. I did all the camps. I did top flight for so long. I did, like other than that, like, I was mostly just, like, was a swimmer.
So when did you start swimming, like, against other people?
When I was 5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that with the Hurricanes here at Mountain Home?
Yes. And what's actually really funny is Coach Hope was the person that said I was on the team. She was the person that said, you pass and you made the team. And
oh, wow.
I had to do 2 tryouts because I failed the first time.
How did you fail it?
I didn't swim across the pool, and it just so happened that, like, my birthday fell in between the 2 tryouts, and so, like, the next weekend, she was like, you can come back the next weekend and try out again. I was like, okay. Came back, and I swam across the pool, and she was like, what's different? I was like, well, 1, I'm older. I mean, you're older now. 2, I'm getting $1 and an ice cream cone after this. And Coach Hope said, ever since I said that, she knew that she would love me because I was just straight up like, I'm getting $1 and an ice cream cone.
Now, see, that's further proof. Bribery works, dang it. I mean, that's awesome.
Oh, my parents still bribe me to this day.
How do they bribe you?
My dad will make bets with me on my, like, times. Like, I'll tell him what I want to go out of the meet, and he'll be like, okay, if you do this, like, I'll give you, like, $20. And I'm a college student. Like, I want that money.
That's a lot of money. That could get you through a week.
Exactly. Like, okay. And so my dad still makes those bets to this day. So
that's funny. So you're pretty much just driven by just trying to prove someone wrong. Pretty much your dad, well, it sounds like.
Yeah, basically. And then what's even better is, like, I'll, like, say, like, a time, and my mom's like, oh, Maddie, like, you're going to go that time. I was like, I know, but dad doesn't know that.
Hey, you got to hustle them sometimes.
Exactly.
So, again, you started when you were 5 with the Hurricanes. How often would you go swimming competitively, like, just as you were growing up?
So, over the summers, we would swim, like, every weekend from, like, in June and July. And then we had Junior Olympics, so that was, like, at the end of July, beginning of August. And then I started doing year-round swim, so, like, we started doing, like, a fall and winter AAU. We did that. I started that when I was, like, in the 6th grade. And then I would swim, like, probably a meet once a month. And then when I got to 8th grade, I did USA swimming, and I started swimming, like, every other weekend, if not every weekend. I would be gone the whole weekend because they would be like 3-day meets. And I would basically alternate off with my club swimming meets and high school meets. We'd work it out with Coach Hope, which meets I would go to for club swim. And then I have my only down year was when I got hip surgery, but it happened to be COVID, so it was a perfect time.
Yeah, what was that like going through that? I mean, because it was, you couldn't hardly get in a swimming pool for about 8 or 9 months, at least in a public swimming pool.
Yeah, so I tore my labrum in December of 2019, and then we were supposed to win state, and we did, but we were supposed to win state, and I knew that, and so I asked the doctor if I could keep swimming on my hip or if it would make it worse, and he was like, you can keep swimming on it, and I was like, okay, so I swam through state, and then, you know, we got shut down in March, and I was supposed to be getting hip surgery in April, but because of COVID, it got pushed back till June, and I wasn't allowed in the pool or anything because, you know, no one was allowed to go. And so I was crazy, and I was running on a torn labrum.
Holy cow.
To just stay somewhat in shape. So after hip surgery, when I got released, I could get back quicker than I would have.
Yeah, that's a very unique path to that because because they eliminated pretty much all non-essential surgeries for, I want to say it was a couple months. So that's, I had forgot about that. I knew you had hip surgery, but I didn't realize it was in that window.
Yeah, and it honestly sucked because I couldn't like see any of my friends. So I was like, just like recovering on my own. I was like, this is so much fun.
Yeah, just fun being alone.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to ask, just from a swimmer standpoint, now of course I'm not a swimmer. I float. I'm not much of a swimmer at all. So you have the four strokes. You have the back. I think there's four strokes: backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, and is it the freestyle? I remember right. How do you train for each one of those individually? I mean, I know I'm assuming you specialize in one or two of those, or do you do all four in college?
So I used to swim all four, and then after I got hip surgery, I no longer swim breaststroke.
Gotcha.
Just because of the movement for the legs. But like in high school, when we would train it, we would just swim all four strokes like every day, or we would do like practices just specializing. Oh, today's a backstroke day, or today's a butterfly day. But in college, it's a completely different beast. Like, every Monday, we do aerobic, and so we're basically doing all freestyle that day. Every Tuesday, we do threshold, and so you're doing your best stroke. And since I'm a butterfly backstroke specialist, I get to alternate my strokes. And then Wednesday is a recovery, and then Thursday is like top end speed, so you get to pick one event to focus on. And so I usually alternate butterfly and backstroke, and then I'll throw an occasional sprint freestyle. And then Friday, it's usually like preparation for the meet that might be that weekend or whatnot. And so it's just more like you do more what's like tailored for you.
Uh-huh.
I happen to be a two-stroke specialist compared to others. Most people are either all four strokes and they have one specialty stroke, or they're just a freestyler.
I got you, because I've always wondered that, because, you know, I'll see like Katie Ledecky or Michael Phelps, and they'll, of course, they're world class at it. I've seen them do all four of those and be just world class level in all four, and I just think that's just crazy, because it's like, it's kind of like if you were in track and field being really good at hurdles and then just sprints. So I mean, it's like, it's totally different events, even though it's all under swimming.
Oh yeah.
So you talk about your weekly regimen just now. I'm looking at your swim schedule at Truman State. It looks like you have, and I think this was the same way in high school, did you have about like a meet a week or so, or was it, I mean, because they're fairly staggered apart. It looks like about 7 or 8 days apart.
So in high school, I honestly feel like we had a couple more meets than we do here. That's because like we did more like during the week meets, like we would like swim on like a Thursday or Tuesday. But and then sometimes Coach Hope would do like a Tuesday meet and then a Saturday meet. And Coach Hope usually signed us up for a lot of meets because with Arkansas, you never know what the weather is like. We don't know if we're gonna have a bad winter or not. And so she would always just like sign us up for so many just in case they got canceled. But for like college swimming, we So, like, here, it's honestly different than Lindenwood. Out Lindenwood, we would, like, never have back meets. But we just went 6 weekends in a row of back meets. I have never done that ever. Like, in all of my, like, besides, like, summer swim, but, like, summer swim compared to college swim is, whoa, a different beast. And so it's like a little bit different. It was definitely like there was like one meet. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a little rough. Lindenwood was Division 1, and we were swimming probably like every other weekend, and we wouldn't swim the weekend. It would be like a Friday meet, and then we would have Saturday morning practice.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We didn't get the days off for anything.
That's, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, but Truman, they're more of an academic rigorous school, and so, we swim more Saturday meets than Friday meet. At dual meets, they like you can only score like, depending on how big the both teams are, you only score like 2 or 3 of your swimmers, and it's just like, and you don't put anyone exhibition. It's just more of like whoever places the highest, like the scoring person. And so like first place is like 10 points, second place is like 8 points, third place is 7, so on, so on.
Okay, so it's
kind of
like
relays are double.
Okay, so it's kind of like cross country in a way, where you're everyone's competing, but you're only going to take like your top 2 or 3 best.
Yes.
Okay, and you're only swimming against one other school. It's not like there's a couple schools there. Like when you go swim against Wichita, you're just swimming against Wichita.
Yes, and then we had a meet in Minnesota, and we swam against like 4 schools, and then our meet this weekend is like 4 or 5 schools.
I gotcha. So how was that, just real quick, how was that transition from swimming in high school where you're a dude, you're one of the best in the state, to going to, you know, a D1 school, going to really good swim programs, and then you're like, whoa, everyone else is really good too?
I definitely got pushed a lot, especially in practice, because I would swim in the morning by myself. My mom would bring me up to Scuba-Doo in the morning to do a workout outside of high school swimming. And so I've like never really been pushed in practice before, or and then I would also help coach the high school kids. So I never really experienced like the coach in your face yelling at you your times and telling you what to fix at practice, and I would always be the one helping Coach Hope. And so when I got to college, it was like they were like in your face, like, you need to go faster, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. And I was like, whoa. And then there was like 4 people to a lane, and then you're like racing the person next to you. We're going off the blocks, and Scuba-Doo doesn't have blocks. And I was just like, wow. And then when I got to a meet, it's like, I'm like 18. Like my freshman year, I'm like, I'm 18. There's a couple people that are 5th years. They're like 23. And there's a couple people at Lindenwood. We had a lot of foreigners. There was like 25-year-olds on the team. And I was like, y'all are old. Like, y'all are old. Like, you guys are as old as my siblings.
Hey, that's not old. So.
I know, but like compared to like what I was like thinking, I was thinking like, oh, everyone's like 20 or younger. And then there's like these like 23 to 25-year-olds that like have arms the size of my face.
Gosh.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, you're an adult. Like, you're a grown adult.
Yeah, I was like, I just graduated from high school.
This has been awesome. Before I cut you loose, I do this to everybody. I don't know if you've kept up with things back home, but our football team's having a very historic year. Like, if they win on Friday, it'll be, I believe, the 4th 10-win season in the over 85 years of football at this school. So we're trying to aim for that. They're playing Little Rock Catholic on Friday at War Memorial. It's an all boys private Catholic school, so I imagine it's just one big party there. Do you have a score prediction for that?
I haven't really been keeping up with. I've been keeping up with our team. How good is Little Rock Catholic?
I mean, they're still playing. It's the playoffs. We beat them last year, and you know, just by rough estimate, sounds like they're about the same as they were last year. You're still pretty good, but I think we've gotten better since we were last year. So, with all that information in mind,
I think we win by 2 touchdowns. I feel like this is going to be a good game. Like, I have a good feeling about this week.
I think so, too. It's going to be about 50 degrees, going to be good weather to run the ball. But so you're sitting with 2 touchdowns, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it'd be pretty great if we could be like, they get like Little Rock Catholic has 0 points. Like, that would be phenomenal game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, our defense has been balling. So, I mean, that's not a crazy prediction. So, I like that. So, it's either 2 touchdowns or we shut them down or shut them out.
Oh, definitely.
I like it. Maddie, I appreciate you so much for coming on here, telling kind of your story, and I just appreciate you.
Of course.
So, we're going to take a short little break. We'll have a preview in addition to what we just had of Mountain Home Bombers versus Little Rock Catholic here in just a moment on the Bomber Buzz.
When it comes to health, we're all on our own journey. You may have aches, pains, fatigue, or even symptoms of long COVID that make everyday life difficult. For challenges like these, physical therapy is the solution. No matter where you are on your health journey, your physical therapist and physical therapist assistant can help. Visit ChoosePT.com to find a physical therapist near you or ask your primary care provider for a referral. This message is provided by the American Physical Therapy Association.
Back here on the Bomber Buzz, we're going to get you ready for Mountain Home versus Little Rock Catholic. This is a rematch of the first round game last year, where the Bombers, they were down 14-0, and then they rallied and came back and won at War Memorial Stadium. It's always fun to go to that venue. That's one of the best sports venues in the state, if not the Midwest. But that's going to be fun. Kickoff's going to be at 7 p.m. Just don't really know a whole lot about Little Rock Catholic. I don't personally, but I know they returned a decent amount on both sides of the ball. They had a bye this year. Last year they did not. They were the 3 seed, so they obviously improved standings wise from last year. Them and Marion, they played a close game. Just by transitive property, you know, them and Marion played a close game. It was decided, if it wasn't one possession, it was close. It was tight all throughout the game, and I think Catholic pulled away. If you go by that, you know, Marion got knocked out of the playoffs last week against Van Buren. That was kind of one of the bigger upsets in Class 6A. That was a very surprising result, to say the least, because Marion was coming to this. They had a lot of decent momentum going in. But if you go by that and you go by, you know, how bad we beat Van Buren, I believe that was 48-7. Just go by that. You know, the Bombers should win. This is a game that the Bombers, you know, if they show up defensively and they just keep doing what they're doing on offense, that they'll be just fine, in my honest, moderately educated opinion. But should be a good one. If you can't make it down to War Memorial, to that beautiful venue, you can tune in on the Bomber Sports Network and Classic Hits 101.7 as well. Be sure to tune in, watch your Bombers, support these kids. This is something awesome. This is a chance to have a 10-win season. I want to say for only the 4th time in school history. So that's a big, big number to achieve there. But I want to give a shout out to our guest today, Madeline Lynch, a Truman State former Lady Bomber swimmer and track and field runner. She did a good job. That was a good interview. I really enjoyed that one, and I hope you enjoyed it too. But this is going to wrap it up for the Bomber Buzz this week. And as always, remember, go Bombers!